You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Hello, welcome to Pack to the Future. I am your host, Dusty Evely. Our regular host, Brian, is out. He says he's sick, but I think I know a really big playoff celebration when I hear one. So I will be talking in his stead. I do not have a terrible cold like last time, so you're welcome. I'm here with Jordan Peck. Jordan, what's going on, man?
Doing all right, Dusty. How are you doing? How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, man. You still celebrating? You still pumped about this?
I'm pumped. I mean, a playoff win. You got to be excited.
That's right. That's the right answer. I'm also here with. That's right. It doesn't matter, man. It was 9-7 Skins. I don't care if they, 2-14 team snuck in. A playoff win's a playoff win. I'll take it. Also here with Jason Perrone. Jason, what's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Thanks. Despite my performance on the last show, you guys decided to have me back anyway. So I really appreciate you bringing me on.
Yeah, that was, just to let you know, I had missed that week, so your picks went against my record. It's no hard feelings. I don't have your face on my punching bag or anything. I took it down a while ago, but we're good.
I don't remember that week specifically, but I guess I must have had a bad week then.
You may have actually done better than I did. So, okay. Guys, let's open it up, man. Playoff win again, won the wild card game against Washington. Doesn't matter who you play, we move on to the divisional round. It's very exciting. Talk positives and negatives. Jordan, what do you got for positive and negative for this game?
I'll start with the positive for this game because it's a positive weekend. For me, it was the play of the offensive line as the game progressed. Having the news that Bakhtiari wasn't starting, I was not excited about that. I was clearly more excited that it was not Don Barclay in his stead when the lineup was announced. But at the same point, I just was not thrilled that Bakhtiari wasn't going to be in there again. Didn't have a good feeling when I saw that. Definitely didn't have a good feeling when you see Treader get absolutely manhandled and give up the safety right away to start the game. Did not have a good feeling in that first quarter, but what a turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
At second through fourth quarters, remarkably impressive the way they responded and gave Rodgers time to throw and make plays. It was fun to watch. It was not on last week's show, I did not predict a victory. I wasn't very excited about the game, particularly the way the first quarter went. I wasn't changing my mind on that. It was kind of what I expected. What I didn't expect was the way they responded. And that was a pleasant surprise and makes me feel that much more confident going into this week. My negative, the main focus of our defense for this past game had to have been Jordan Reed. He's Kirk Cousins' go-to guy in the passing game, and he torched us in that first quarter, and that was discouraging. I think they don't have so many weapons. They have DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. They're good receivers. I don't want to say they're a below-average receiving squad. They got decent receivers and a good playing quarterback at the time. But the way Mike Roth, and I think we're going to be talking a little bit about the safety play, but the way just the approach and the execution on defending him was not to my liking and shouldn't have been to the liking of any Packer fan. It's concerning considering the passing attack and even higher caliber quarterback we're going up against this week. So that'd be my negative from the Redskins game.
Jordan, it's a little shocking that you think anyone is higher caliber than Kirk Cousins after the way you've gushed about him on this show. But you know what? I like to hear it. I like to hear it.
I'm a fan. I'm still a fan. Still a fan of Kirk Cousins.
I still am not. Jason, what do you got? Positives and negatives for this past game?
Okay, so Jordan, does that mean that you like that?
I suppose we had to say it once, so we got it out of the way.
Yeah, I went off script. I ad-libbed. This is what you guys risk when you bring me on the show. I just want you to know that. For me, you know, the positive for me was kind of, you know, you could say it every week when he plays well, which has been, unfortunately, a long time since the last time we could say this, but my positive was Aaron Rodgers and him looking more like the Aaron Rodgers that we want to see every week and haven't seen for a long time. There was a lot of talk about how he hasn't looked that good since about week 3, which was the Kansas City Chiefs game. I happened to be in the stands for that one, side note. So,
nice.
You know, he looked a lot better. The first touchdown pass to Randall Cobb was kind of vintage Rodgers. It was kind of like a throwback, and I think that play, to me, is what sparked his confidence and the rest of the day, because he drew the defense offside, which he hasn't been very successful in doing of late, but he drew the defense offside, got the free play, and was able to find Cobb in the end zone. It was kind of a tough throw. I don't know if he makes that throw if it's not a free play and he knows he's going to be able to get away with it, but throws a nice ball. Cobb makes a nice catch. It's one of those things that, you know, everything lined up perfectly, and it got the Packers into the game and got them on the board. So that was my positive, because obviously you saw some of the throws he was making. He actually threw the ball downfield a couple times, had some success there. He missed some open guys, which was still concerning. Aberderis was open deep on one play. Cobb was open on another one. And I think if he hits those guys on both of those plays, at least one, if not both, go for scores. So, I mean, Green Bay could have scored into the 40s if Rodgers was his usual self. It's just baffling to me, too. You know, he played well. He had the two touchdown passes, but he still wasn't able to get over the 100 mark in his quarterback rating, where, you know, he's got a career average over 100. So, you know, he struggles to kind of get back to that level. But, you know, as long as the Packers are winning, and obviously we know the defense is a big part of that equation too, and the fact that Green Bay's not having to light up the scoreboard this year, then, you know, it really doesn't matter whether he's putting up 100 quarterback rating or if he's, you know, if he's in the 80s or the 90s. So that was my positive. My negative kind of goes along with what Jordan said with regards to, you know, Jordan Reed, 13, I think he was targeted, 17 times? I mean, you knew they were going to, like you said, you know, you knew they were going to go to him. And so you would have thought Dom Capers would have had a little bit of a better solution to covering Reed than Micah Hyde. And I think, you know, I get that they're a little short on bodies. I mean, you don't have Sam Shields out there. And I think Sam Shields might have helped in some way. You know, when he's out there, obviously he's a help. And then Quentin Rollins was able to start the game. And he went out relatively early on. So then you don't have a choice. You know, you got Micah Hyde, you got Demetri Goodson, Ladarius Gunter got some time out there. But, you know, Micah Hyde, we've seen him all season long struggle in coverage. It's been the same story over and over again. I like Hyde. I just think there's certain things he does well and there's other things that he does not. And covering receivers is one of the things that he is not great at. And so that's not a knock on him. It's just not his skill set. You know, he's had some interceptions this season. He's savvy if he's in the right position. But putting him up on Jordan Reed, and to be fair to Hyde, too, I mean, I've kind of picked on him a little bit in my game balls and lame calls post over at Cheesehead TV. You know, you put anybody on Jordan Reed, they're going to struggle. If it could have been Sam Shields, it could have been Revis, it could have been Sherman. I mean, Reed's going to make a play or two. I mean, he caught a ball that wasn't even intended for him and, like, turned it into a major game. So, I mean, that's just how talented
that was insane.
He is. Plus his first name is Jordan, right, Jordan? So,
That's right.
You know, he's a superior talent,
he overcame that shortcoming. You're right. Yeah, he did.
he overcame the shortcoming. There you go. Nugget, perfectly worded nuggets on the show here. Well, and I think, you know, I tweeted, and those of you who follow me on Twitter know I'm a great follow on game day. If you don't mind a realistic take, which could also be construed as overtly negative, but After seeing Reed catch, I don't know how many passes it was, I finally tweeted out, and I have to stand behind it now. I mean, I think I'm on the Fire Capers bandwagon, and I know that puts me in the JS comments bracket, but
yeah.
I think it's time for the, and it's funny, the defense has actually been the bright spot of the team this year, so you would think if anybody would be safe, it'd be Capers, and we'd be looking at offensive changes, but I think this defense has enough young guys that they might benefit from having a fresh voice in there to kind of keep these guys growing and developing. And for some of the guys that have been in the defense for a while, like Raji and Matthews, and then you've got veterans like Peppers, I don't know if he'll be back, but might be a good idea to kind of freshen it up there and keep the ball rolling, because, you know, Capers defenses tend to have these drop-offs, and that's the last thing that we want to see, because if they can come back next year and play like they are this year, then, you know, that bodes well. So those are my positives and negatives. Hopefully, you know, Micah Hyde, great punt returner. He's secure with the ball. Just be smart with what you do with him. And you know, like you said, Jordan, too, you got a completely different set of receivers coming in Arizona. You put Micah Hyde on any of those guys, and you might as well just change the channel.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the Fire Capers bandwagon, because I am a firm believer in that. I am a member of that, and it makes it hard this season, like you said, with as well as they're playing. But again, you're not just basing it on this year. Like, he's done. I wrote about this last year, and I've written about it this year. Like, he's done a pretty good job with the personnel. They've got some talent on that defense. He's done a good job. Mixed some things up. I like seeing it. It's just, like you say, it's kind of run its course. It's not this year I want him fired for. It's 1 year or 2 years down the line when the inevitable relapse comes. There's so much talent on that defense. It seems like they would do well with a lot of coordinators. It's one of those I say Fire Capers, and then I feel really bad about it because they're a top 10 defense this year, and it kills me, but I'm right there with you. I'll start with the negative so we can end on a positive note, because I am a positive person. My negative, Jason kind of talked about it a little bit. Rodgers they had a slow start. Rodgers missed some throws. Jason mentioned the his quarterback rating, his completion percentage was once again below 60%. He's hovering right around 60% for this year, which is odd for him. And I think he was like 58% for this game. And a lot of that goes to, what do you start, 1-for-7, 1-for-8? He played really well after the first quarter. When they were down 11-0, he played really well, came back, looked like the Rodgers that we all know and love for the most part. But it's hard to overcome, statistically speaking, it's hard to overcome a start like that. It's going to be lower than it would be, you know, if you played the whole game like that, obviously. So, and it wasn't just, I mean, you know, you guys mentioned the safety, which, yeah, they had some pressure in him, but he also had somewhere he stepped into the throw and he just missing him. Like you said, he missed Abadaris down the field. He missed James Jones once or twice. And I'm just not used to seeing that from him. And some of that early was guys not getting separation, which has been a problem all year, but and that's part of it. His level was so high, it's hard to see him be anything but that. So if he's down a little from his normal standards, he's not perfect. And it's been tough watching some of that this year. And some of it's been overthrowing open guys. So we saw some of that in the first quarter, and it was discouraging. It was really nice seeing how he bounced back from that. I know he talked about in the off week between the games how he was going to make a note to try to have a better attitude. And I don't know if that played into it. I don't put a whole lot of stock into that, but he did look happy. He looked like he was actually having some fun, joking around, kind of jumping around with guys. And we haven't seen that from him for a while. It's been very discouraging. So I don't know if that attitude kind of helped him bounce back from a poor start, but it was good to see that basically after the first quarter. So I'm hoping that carries over into the Cardinals game, because if he starts slow against the Cardinals are not the Redskins. If he starts slow against the Cardinals, the Cardinals will make them pay. It'll be very hard to overcome that. So their defense is much better than the Skins. My positive, I had a bunch. I had a really hard time deciding which one I was going to use. So I'll go with Ladarius Gunter. Really, really liked him. He was, you know, obviously a preseason favorite. Not a fast guy. Kind of reminded me of like a slower Devon House, like kind of a big guy. Not quite as long arms, but just found a way to make the plays. And he looked really, really good. He came in when Rollins got injured, broke up a pass down the field, was pretty solid in coverage. He can't stick with the faster guys, but given what he did, he looked really good. I don't want to see – if he's out there starting the game, it means that Rollins or Shield isn't good to go, and that's concerning. But I wouldn't hate to see more of him on the field. I guess I'll say that. I don't want it because of injuries, but he looked really good in the limited time that he had. Those were mine. So we'll move on now to Jesse Reynolds. Jesse Reynolds covers the cards for Revenge of the Birds. He was actually with us before the last game. So welcome back, Jesse. What's going on, man?
Not much. Looking forward to playing football this weekend. 5 weeks tonight, so it'd be off week tonight, but, you know, hate not watching football. Hate the film is over.
Yeah, I always found that's really nice to relax, but then you're just kind of itching to watch your team play. It's playoffs, and you're not even in on the action. It's a little upsetting. I find a way to cope with it during the bye week, but it's hard sometimes. It's hard.
Definitely.
Jesse, how do you feel about this week, man? We all know the last time the Packers went out to the desert, just got handled in about every single way imaginable. It was 38-8. Someone didn't feel that close. Do you feel like we're going to get their same result this time around, or do you feel like something different is in the air?
I definitely feel like something's different in the air. You know, as you guys were talking about, you know, Rodgers looked much better against the Redskins. So you always have to worry about playoff Rodgers. I mean, he's a guy who can, you know, one of the few guys out there that can make you pay on the blitz, and the Cardinals blitz a lot. So you're always worried about him and what he can do, as well as the fact that, you know, you guys should be healthier on the offensive line, unless you guys have new injuries on there, as well as maybe healthier in the secondary. You know, we just had a week off, so who knows how the Cardinals will handle rust, you know, because we have a quarterback and, you know, Carson Palmer, who's been brilliant all season, but doesn't have much postseason, you know, even really activity. Mm-hmm. You know, the blew out his knee, you know, playing the Steelers when he was with the Bengals, and, you know, another loss. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, to be concerned about, but you're still confident in the team. The emergence of David Johnson has really given us a back that we can count on in the short yardage situations that we didn't have in Chris Johnson, really. Changes in the offensive line. You know, in fact, we still have, you know, Larry Fitzgerald playing really well. Michael Floyd has really come out these last few weeks. And then, you know, Patrick Peterson on defense. But we got a little banged up at the defensive end, you know, 3-4 defensive end and, you know, outside linebacker. So I'm expecting, you know, Packers to be able to score better this time and not for us to get, you know, two defensive touchdowns, which were, you know, awesome. But, you know, how often that happens?
Yeah, that's fair. So, I mean, you say you can see Rodgers possibly doing better against his defense. The Cards defense is really good, and I mean, despite what they showed, and like you said, it's a couple defensive touchdowns, so the defense did not give up 38 points to the Cardinals the last time we met. But do you see kind of a shootout or a at least shootout light in the making, or do you still see, I mean, higher scoring for the Packers? Like, it doesn't take much to score more than eight. Like, what do you see on that front?
I was thinking somewhere in, you know, that 20s range, you know, field goals and some touchdowns. You know, I don't know, because last week or the week before, week 17 against the Seahawks, we got absolutely blown out. Apparently we found out that, you know, Coach Arians was going to pull out Palmer at halftime regardless of the Carolina-Tampa Bay game because we, you know, had a chance for the first seed. And he didn't seem to care at all. So you found out the team didn't really care, and then we just got smothered. I mean, it was really one of the most embarrassing losses I've seen in Cardinal history. Just they beat us in all phases of the game. So you just, like, wonder, like, okay, that just happened week 16, you know, week 17, you know, and we just had a week off. Like, is that going to fuel the fire? Are we going to come in against, you know, against the Packers thinking that we're going to thump them again? Like, where's the headset of this team that, like I said, not many players have had a lot of playoff success. I mean, last year we went to the playoffs with Ryan Lindley. We saw what that happened, led to the worst offensive performance in, you know, playoff history. So maybe I'm just a little bit pessimistic.
I think Hoyer trumped that this year, by the way.
Yeah, you know who he played for before? He played for the Cardinals before he played for the Browns. So, you know, I watched Hoyer play.
That's
So maybe I'm just, you know, I'm a Cardinals fan. I'm an optimistic person, but I'm a pessimistic Cardinals fan. I really want to do well. I'd love to recreate the magic of 2009 when we, you know, just were hot through the playoffs. But, again, we had a quarterback that we knew who could perform. You know, he was a clutch quarterback in Kurt Warner. So, you know, like I said, that's what we're going against Aaron Rodgers. I can definitely see, like, a 24-21 type of game where, you know, there's some ugly moments for both offenses and defenses and then, you know, some good plays. And maybe a little rush at the end, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned the Warner years, and I mean, it is interesting, and it's been talked about a lot, so I don't want to harp on it here. Just the Carson Palmer being a little long in years and doing well out in the desert as well. It's a place where old people go to retire. So I like seeing an elderly fellow like Palmer, who is still probably younger than me, going out there and playing well. So living close to Cincinnati, I cheered for him with the Bengals. You mentioned that playoff loss against the Steelers, man, that was heartbreaking. If I'm not mistaken, Chris Henry also got injured on that play. That was a tough way to open the game for Palmer, for sure. That was tough. But so you mentioned possible mindset and possible rust, but you guys got some injuries as well. You want to talk about that for a little bit, just kind of how that can affect you? We normally ask, you know, how can the Packers exploit this team? And I think right now it seems like injuries is kind of the main thing to go. So who are some of the key guys you got down there?
Well, they put Corey Redding had a high ankle sprain, so they put him on IR with the season almost over and him unlikely to come back, maybe for the playoff or for the Super Bowl. They said to pull the trigger there. And then we lost Alex Okafor to a non-football injury, which is always kind of scary because we had a couple players in our past that were, once we found out they'd you know, been involved in, like, domestic violence, I can't think of the fellow's name, but he broke his hand on a phone on accident, you know, after a report with the police. So when we think of that, Cardinals fans at least, you know, we get a little nervous. But it was a toe injury, so maybe he just tripped, you know, on his coffee table at night. So you never know. So
if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember if it was with the Cardinals or not. I think Jake Plummer injured his foot getting off of the couch, like broke a bone in his foot. I can't remember if that was Cardinals or Broncos years. I don't know if you remember that or not, but, you know, could be anything.
Yeah, exactly. But again, you know, we've had that, you know, that's what our, you know, front office has done in the past with it. So, you know, they were out of starter and Corey Redding on the 3-4 defensive end and Alex Okafor as a 3-4 outside linebacker. So we'll be putting in our, you know, second year player, Kareem Martin, who's, you know, he's an okay player. He's got a lot of, you know, that Calais Campbell light in him, but he just hasn't really turned the corner and never really used that athleticism into making big plays. We will have Marcus Golden back healthy, so that's good. He's been phenomenal for us as a rookie. And, but, you know, like I said, we're just kind of a little weak there, so we signed Jason Babin today. He's, I think, 34 years old, had 2 sacks, I think, 2 years ago. So I think that kind of shows a little bit of the desperation we have at just getting some healthy bodies in there. We already had and I can't think of his name, but we already sent a 3-4 defensive end, you know, to IR in the beginning of the season when he injured his knee and losing Tyron Matthew. So I just feel like we're just getting a little banged up, you know, in the key part of the season.
So we could be seeing Treader against Babin. Like, that's, you know, people say playoff matchups aren't exciting sometimes, but gracious, man, like that's what the people pay to see. Treader and Babin, you know, those two juggernauts going head to head. That's exciting, you know? All right, man. So we kind of talked through everything. Jordan, Jason, you guys got any other questions?
Don't everybody talk at once?
Yeah.
Jesse, my only question is, you know, like, I guess you look back a couple years ago, there are completely different circumstances. The timing was different than the, you know, like I said, I think there was a strategy behind it. But, you know, Green Bay went into Arizona week 17, 2009. They win big. They come back a week later. They see a completely different Cardinals team and over 100 points are scored. And you want to talk about a shootout. I mean, that's a shootout for sure. Mm-hmm. So with this being kind of a rematch inside of a month, you know, I think the disparity between these two teams right now, despite the great performance that Green Bay put up on Washington last week, you know, is still in question. You know, what do you think or what do you see as kind of the key to Arizona having a repeat performance? Because I think, you know, like you said, there's kind of an explainable reason why the Seattle game went the way that it did. But the Cardinals want to make a statement here. I mean, going into whether it's to Carolina or if Seattle's coming back, they want to make a statement that either of those two teams should be really worried about this Cardinals team, and that Week 17 was kind of a fluke. So what's your biggest key to Arizona dominating again, kind of the way they did a few weeks back?
Well, if Arizona forces the turnovers again, it's going to be a long day for Green Bay. If we can give Rodgers the time to throw and keep him protected, that's going to go a long way to at least making the game competitive. It's all about pressure. It's how the Packers-Redskins game went as well. First quarter, Rodgers was getting all the pressure in his face, because not as much. Second through fourth quarters, it completely switched and we took over the game. And in that Cardinals game, I mean, Rodgers didn't have time to breathe back there. So that's what the Packers need to change. If they don't change it, then I don't see it going that much differently than the Week 16 game.
Yeah, I say that sounds pretty accurate to me. I mean, if I'd say the Cardinals' biggest chance of making sure that we, you know, put away Green Bay is really actually if Aaron Rodgers beats the blitz, because I think we're going to have to blitz a little extra this week just due to the injuries at outside linebacker and defensive end. And if Aaron Rodgers finds his groove and is able to beat those, you know, people can have a big game. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater threw for his, you know, one of his biggest games against us just earlier in the season, you know, because he was beating the blitz, and he's not the quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is. So that's what always makes me nervous, is if Aaron Rodgers is having fun again, then I don't, you know, want him to have fun on my team.
That makes sense. That makes sense. We feel completely differently, but that's cool, man. That's cool. All right, Jesse, you kind of mentioned you think it's going to maybe be an ugly game. How do you think this game plays out, and what do you think the final score is going to be?
Well, I think I said 24-21. Maybe I'll say, just to make it a little random, 27-24. You know, some field goals and stuff like that. I definitely think, like I said, I think there's going to be some ugly moments. Cardinals got exposed on their punt coverage. Justin Bethel has been struggling. And I think if Aaron Rodgers, you know, found success, like his little success he did find against us the first time was against Bethel. And I definitely think if the Lions doing better, he can find some exposure on Bethel again. However, I think just offensive weapons, the emergence of David Johnson, you know, and our receivers, I think we do enough to pull out the victory.
Fair enough. Well, Jesse, thanks again for coming on, man. Good luck this weekend. Not too much luck, but pleasure as always, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I hope it's a good, clean game. Nothing, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, Cincinnati Bengals like.
I don't think it'll come down to that. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jesse. All right, so we heard from Jesse and how he thinks this is going to go down. Brought up some good points. We've been just killing it with guests. A lot of really good guests so far. We've been very, very lucky. Jason, what do you got going in this game? What do you see happening? What are some of your keys to the game here?
So a couple that have come up today, obviously we learned that Davante Adams has a sprained MCL, so it doesn't sound like he's going to play. So Jared Aberdare steps in, but like I was saying, he's a different receiver. And I don't think you could just replace what Adams brings to the offense in Abby. But I do think that Aberdare is carving out a nice little role for himself. I know it was only a two-point conversion, but he did score. He found the end zone. And little things like that build confidence. So I think that'll really help. But I think Green Bay is going to have to try to come out and stick with the run game, even if it's not producing right away. I really see this as probably the biggest key to the game is production in the run game. And it's a lot to ask, because Arizona's got, I think, one of the top five ranked rushing defenses. And it's going to be as tough sledding as it was last time. You know, the offensive line was beat up a little bit. And I think maybe if Treader is an X factor, you know, because he actually did okay in run blocking at left tackle, which is not something that David Bakhtiari does very well. So the Packers have to stick with the run game, and I'll even throw the screen in under that same umbrella. But, you know, they have to get production there, and I think it's one of those ride-or-die type of things where it's like, hey, if they're not going to get production from the run game, if Arizona's going to shut it down, then I don't necessarily know if Green Bay can keep up. You know, I didn't pick the Packers to win this game. I just, you know, I don't want to – be overly fooled by last week. That was Washington. It's a completely different team. I had a 27-17 in favor of Arizona. May end up being a little bit closer. These rematches kind of tend to find a way to be a little bit more exciting. So my key, the biggest key, is going to be that run game. Lacy and Starks, and, you know, I don't know if they work Crockett in at all or not. You know, you got Randall Cobb, too, who you have to include into that conversation because he took so many snaps out of the backfield this last game against Washington. What I did like, I'm not a big fan of Cobb in the backfield, but that's more just because I don't want to see him get hurt. But he was able to find some production that we haven't seen from that particular look in that game, more so than any other time this season. So, you know, I think you find production there. I think the Packers have a good chance of surprising Arizona, but it's a big if. And, you know, on the defensive side of things, if Shields can't go, Arizona's just got so many weapons on offense, it's tough to keep up. You know, I don't think it's for lack of effort. I think the Packers put up a great game, a great fight. But I see this one going down. I'll stick with my 27-17 Cardinals. But playoff victory after the season that was, you know, it's not a total loss, really, in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, what about you? What you got for this weekend?
Tarp on it. I mentioned it too when Jesse asked his question. For me to keep the game close, it's got to be protection. It comes down to protection for both sides. If we're able to get pressure on Palmer and able to keep it off of Rodgers, I mean those are the biggest keys for me to success. With Rodgers not having pressure on him, he's much less susceptible. He's not very susceptible to turnovers anyway. This season's been a little strange, particularly his last few weeks. Looked like the Raiders game, the last Cardinals game with just poor decisions. But if the offensive line can put together another performance like they did this past week and get him comfortable in the pocket, he should be able to have a good game. And I can't remember which one of you were talking about this past game, the couple shots downfield, the one to Cobb that he missed and the one I can't remember the other receiver that he missed. But those can't happen against Arizona. You have to take advantage of open receivers down the field and hit a couple big plays like that in order to loosen them up. And that'll only help the run game because you just see it. You saw it in the past few games, there was no respect for the deep pass. I mean, everybody is up on the line of scrimmage, and that can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it changing over the course of the Redskins game. They were starting to back off, and Lacy and Starks took advantage of that. And the Packers' play calling was actually pretty good. They took advantage of what was given to them. So those are my biggest key is the pressure. If you get, we've talked about this too. I mean, this was Kirk Cousins. This is an inexperienced quarterback who was on a good run, and Capers does well against those guys. But the guys he doesn't do well against are the experienced quarterbacks. And Carson Palmer is right in that category. He's having a great season. Until we can have a good performance against a quarterback like him, I'm still skeptical of how this defense can play in a big time situation. I thought it interesting. I was looking it up while you were talking to Jesse. This is only going to be Carson Palmer's third playoff game in his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing to me. I mean, the first one was his knee blowout injury. Then he started a game against the Jets in 2009 when he didn't play very well in that game at all, but that was a good Jets defense. But that shocked me. I knew he hadn't had that much experience, but that's, for a guy who's been in the league that long and been as good a quarterback as he's been for quite a few years, that was shocking to me. So, but I don't see this. I mean, I don't see it being a case where the stage is too big, pressure's too much for him playing at home. I anticipate him having a good game, but we need to make things tough for him, and that's my big key for this game.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned pressure, and that's definitely the big one. I mean, I think back to that Week 16 game, man, like my bones hurt watching what happened to Aaron Rodgers in that game. And that was, and we talked about it at the time too, like he's still in the fourth quarter. I brought that up last week when we were talking about conspiracy theories. Like, to buy into the conspiracy theory that the Packers were laying down to fool the rest of the NFC buys in, like, you have to say, well, they let Rodgers go out in the fourth quarter to get murdered against the Cardinals, like on purpose, just to kind of prove a point. But everyone watching that game was, get him out of there. We're not winning this game. He got sacked. What did he get sacked? Like, they rigged up nine sacks.
Eight. Yeah.
Nine, and right. One was against Tolzien. Yeah, Rodgers got sacked eight times. three fumbles, two lost, one interception, I think four turnovers total. And yeah, I mean, they can't do that again. Pressure's huge in that. You're absolutely right. For me, the two main keys are pressure, and then if there's no pressure, Rodgers making the throws, which again, he wasn't doing earlier in the game. If they get a slow start, that's not going to work. I looked up some numbers. As I mentioned, I think last week, Pro Football Focus decided that they did not want to give stats anymore, which is awesome because I'm paying them money to give me stats. So I'm going over to my first love. I'm going to Football Outsiders using their DVOA stat, which is my favorite anyway. Their database I don't like as much as far as individual players, but their DVOA stat is always one of my favorites. So I was just kind of looking at matchups. Just based on the numbers, Cardinals offense stacks up, Packers defense stacks up favorably. Packers offense, or Cardinals pass offense was ranked third. Packers rush pass defense was sixth. Cardinals rush offense was 16th, and the Packers rush defense was 19th. So, that's weighted as well. The Cardinals have looked better. David Johnson has looked tremendous as the season has gone on, and some of that's rushing and some of that's passing. But just look at the numbers there; they stack up somewhat favorably. And I mentioned it earlier, that 38 points that the Cardinals hung on the Packers early in the season is not indicative of the defense. The defense did not look good, but four turnovers also does not make your defense look good. And two of those went for touchdowns and short fields, another one. So they weren't as good as their ranking suggests, but they also weren't as bad as the points made it suggest last time. Flipping over to the Packers offense, not quite as good. On the season, Packers offense were 16th, and the Cardinals pass defense was fourth, which is concerning. Jesse mentioned, and we talked about some of the injuries, could sway that a little bit, and especially if there's some protection, that bumps that pass offense up. I mean, they're traditionally top 10, so I mean, if they get rolling, they could get there. But it's for the season, they were not great. The Packers' rush offense was 10th, while the Cardinals' rush defense was 2nd. So Cardinals have a pretty good offense, mainly relying on the pass, or mainly productive through the pass, and a very, very good defense, top 5 in both pass and rush. So it could be tough sledding. I say that, and I look at my score prediction, and I'm predicting not rough sledding. So apparently the numbers mean nothing to me. I quote all these and then I don't actually live by them. So I don't know what I'm doing, guys. I really don't. But yeah, I mean, we fall back to, I mean, like you said, pressure is going to be huge. If they can keep them off, if Treader can perform well, if the offensive line can perform well as a unit, that's going to be huge. So I'm, I don't know, man, I'm looking forward to it. Packers looked, they had the second best performance this past weekend, according to DVOA. The first best was Kansas City, just put up like ludicrous numbers, most of that by the defense. I think they put up one of the best defensive performances in the past two decades. Now, granted, it was against the Texans and Hoyer, but still, that's pretty impressive. But Packers looked really good. They had the best offensive performance of the wild card round, if nothing else. That was very exciting. So, yeah.
With what you're talking there, I mean, you mentioned just Treader right there. I mean, the word's not out yet whether Bakhtiari is going to be missing this game. Do you guys want Treader back in there, or do you want Bakhtiari in there this weekend?
Bakhtiari.
I'd want Bakhtiari
out there, but I'll say this: if Treader has to go, I'm not worried. After last week, I feel a lot better than if it was Barclay or Walker.
Right.
Yeah, I think if Bakhtiari is, like, I don't know, sitting 75%, less than 75%. I wouldn't mind seeing Treader out there. And then if he struggles, knowing we've got Bakhtiari, if diminished, behind him, instead of, oh, Barclay, or he's struggling and we got Barclay behind him. Like or Walker, like you said, like those two names just give me the shakes just thinking about them. So, obviously Barclay, if he's healthy, or Bakhtiari, if he's healthy, but if he's not and Treader has to try it out there, I like knowing that Bakhtiari is possibly in reserve. But I don't know. That's where I'm sitting on it. Jordan, where do you sit on that?
I'd like to see Bakhtiari out there healthy, because I still think at this point, I mean, you had Treader go out there and it was a last-minute decision. I think the Cardinals will be preparing more for Treader than obviously the Redskins were. So people have been quick to crown J.C. Treader as a potential future, you know, left tackle for this team, and I think it's a little overblown. He had a good game, but he only had three good quarters. He had one really bad quarter too. So it's I'd rather Bakhtiari out there. It's not if Bakhtiari's out there, he plays well, then great. You still got Treader ready to go in case Lindsley goes down, in case any of them go down. I mean, you can put Treader anywhere. Mm-hmm. The guy can play anywhere, which is great. It's great to have.
Crazy too.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you guys, but before we get off of Treader, I just wanted to say, you know, what's amazing about him is I looked at him in this last game. I mean, he's not a big guy. I mean, it just, and so you got to wonder if we have a hidden gem here in terms of his technique, because, you know, he doesn't even look as big as some tight ends. And so, you know, when he's playing left tackle, which is where you want your big bookend guy. I mean, they've said David Bakhtiari is undersized left tackle. I mean, Bakhtiari's undersized. You know, Treader definitely falls into that bucket, but he did so well. Now, again, it was against Washington. And there's, you know, Dwight Freeney. Arizona's got Dwight Freeney and the all-world Jason Babin coming at him. So, you know, but I just want to throw that in there and just say that's why I'm comfortable with Treader, because his mechanics obviously are pretty sound if at his size he's able to have success, because they kind of broke it down. I was listening to the Green and Gold post-game show with Bill Michaels and Gary Ellerson, and they actually broke down the snap count, and he didn't have help on every snap. It's not like they chipped every time. So he had to win his matchup quite a bit, you know, against Washington, and was able to do so. So just wanted to throw that out there. That's one of the big reasons why I gave him a game ball. Because that was a great performance, especially after giving up the safety. You know, he kind of buckled down and faced the adversity and had himself a pretty good game.
Yeah, he's a smart guy too. I mean, he's Cornell guy, but he played left tackle in college, and I didn't even know that until after the Week 17 game against the Vikings, which made it all the more confusing as to why they threw Sitton out there. Knowing you have a guy that actually played left tackle on your roster, that really didn't make that much sense to me. But now I'm in agreement with you, Jason.
Yeah, I think we're all right there. I mean, he was great. I mean, it's easy to say. I mean, Jason, you said against Washington, you know, and that's right. But they do have some decent pass rushers. He did well out there. Even given that, and it's also easy to say, well, you know, given who we're throwing out there, it's a low bar to clear. But he didn't just clear a low bar; like, he put together a very good performance. And we talked about that earlier, whether that's repeatable against this Cardinals defense or not, I don't know. But for 1 week, he looked like a pretty solid left tackle, and that's we've been missing that for a while. So it was very nice to see that for sure. All right, so moving on, we're getting into predictions. Get my notes here so that Brian does not kill me when he gets back. So what we got for the Packers score, gentlemen? Jason, who you taking in this game? Well, you already said, right? You're taking Cards, right?
I did. 27-17 Cards over the Pack, unfortunately, yes.
I hope you're wrong. Jordan?
I said on Pulse this week, I said I've eaten so much crow this season, because I started actually picking against Green Bay just to hope that out of spite and reverse jinx that they would win, that I'm actually starting to crave and tolerate crow. So I'm good with it.
It's not eating you alive like it was Frank Reynolds. Jordan, who are you taking?
I'm actually going with the same route. I mean, it worked last week, right? Picked Redskins, and it worked out great for us. I'm still not super confident that we can cause the pressure and the chaos on defense when Carson Palmer is out there to really stop this offense from putting up big points and big yards. I'm going 31-24. I think our offense does well, get some points on the board, but I think it's also tough to say that we're going to go out there and not turn the ball over against this defense. It's certainly feasible, and I hope it happens. But if I had to really put my money on one team for this game, I think I'd got to be picking Cardinals for it. So, again, I hope I'm wrong. And I was very wrong last week on most of the games. So, yeah, the odds are good now.
Yeah, we'll recount that real quick. That was Jordan went 1-3 last week, and if Blair Walsh had made that kick, he would have gone 0-4. So, I guess thank you, Blair Walsh. I don't know. Me and Brian both went 4-0. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I was. I've never felt as bad for the Vikings as I did that game, to be real. That was brutal.
I watched that in my house, and my wife and child were sitting within 10 feet of me, and he missed that. I just went, oh, no! And she didn't know what was going on. She went, Packers lose? Like, they're not playing. It was the Vikings. You hate the Vikings. Yeah, but I hate the Seahawks more.
I think we all channeled our inner Paul Allen on that one, for sure.
Oh,
yeah, that was God. He like it wasn't even close, man. Like just shanked it off his foot. Like it's been a while since I've seen something from that close miss that badly. That was sad.
I saw Paul Allen tweet out his list of most heart wrenching moments as a Vikings commentator. I think number one was the Favre pick in the NFC Championship. Mm. I think he said this one was number two, and number three was Nate Poole. I thought that was interesting.
Wow, that one took over Nate Poole. Oh man, Blair Walsh.
Because of the home game, you know, third coldest game. I mean, it's just.
Well, and the fact that it's a chip, like it's a chip shot too. You know, like I think a lot of factors went into it.
The game's over. It should be over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it also might have given Bud Grant pneumonia. He could die from that. I mean, geez.
No.
Color joke. Now we're going off the rails.
Oh, man.
Why was Jason never invited back to Pack to the Future? Right there.
Oh, no, it was way before that, Jason. But, you know, whatever. tell yourself whatever you need to sleep at night, fella. All right, bringing us back, Jordan. You mentioned taking the Cards because you're kind of a realist or you're a pessimist. I consider myself a realist, but I also am terribly optimistic pregame and then really really pessimistic in game. I remember thinking in the fourth quarter of the Falcons playoff game in 2010 that like, man, well, you know, if they get a touchdown here, they're only 14 down. Like it's you know onside kick, like I thought they were gonna lose that Falcons game, which is ridiculous. But free game, I'm excited. I think they're gonna win every time. So I always concoct whatever scenario makes sense for them winning. I'm gonna take them. I think 35-27. I think the only way they win this is if the injuries on the Cards defense kind of hit them hard. Rodgers gets a little time with that line. And he turns in a performance like he did for three quarters this past week. I can – like it's one of those where if you squint, you can see it happening. In reality, if the Packers win, it's probably going to be more low scoring. But in my mind, for them to win, it's going to have to be Cardinals defense playing a little bad. I assume the Cards are going to put up points. So the Packers are just going to have to keep their foot on the gas. They're going to have to put up quite a few points this week, I think, to win this. So I'm taking Packers 35-27. Because I really can't help myself. So moving on to the other games, we'll take the other NFC one first. Jordan, Carolina or Seattle?
Oh man, this is gonna be a fun game. That's gonna be a good game to watch. It is. You watch Cam Newton play, and you just think like, oh man, with what the weapons they have on offense, that there was gonna be a slowdown, and there just wasn't. And it was remarkable. And then with how poorly the Seahawks started. And with the run they're on now, with even how poorly they played, I mean, they played poorly. Both teams really played poorly on Sunday. That Vikings-Seahawks game was entertaining for different reasons. It wasn't really the quality of football that was entertaining about it. That being said, it's really tough for me to go against Russell Wilson in the playoffs. He's got something about him when it comes to these months. So I'm going to go tentatively Seahawks over the Panthers 24-20 for this game.
Jason?
You know, I wanted to kind of ride the Seattle train as well, but after the way they played against Minnesota. I just don't know. I mean, Carolina's not going to let them off the hook like that. So I'm going to go with Carolina at home, number one seed. You know, they beat Seattle in Seattle earlier. They know they can do it. The only thing that worries me for Carolina is that they're not really a playoff-tested team, and they had a bye week. Seattle's been here. You know, they've been to the Super Bowl two seasons in a row, and they almost got to a conference championship game the season before that. So, but I'm going to go with Carolina in that one over Seattle. Again, home, the defense, you know, Carolina's defense, it's going to be a very physical game. I won't be surprised if it's low scoring. I mean, I don't know if it'll be 10-9, a baseball score, kind of like the Vikings and Seattle game was. But I think it's going to, like you said, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be a big defensive battle. I don't see either team really scoring any more than 20 points, and I don't even think that the winning team's going to get to 20.
Yeah, I'm with both of you guys. This is, outside of the Packers game, this is the game I'm most excited to watch this weekend. With both those teams, this could be – there's a bit confusion with – well, I guess commentators have to sell it, but between a good game and a close game. Where if it's defense heavy, it could be very, very good, even if it's low scoring. Although I've also seen my share of, there was a Pittsburgh Baltimore game. I don't remember what season this was. It was last game of the season. It was when Jamal Lewis was like 120 yards away from breaking the all time rushing record, and they kept saying, "Oh, what a great game it was!" Because I think it ended up, you know, like, I don't know, 17-10 or something was the final score, and it wasn't a good game. It was an ugly game. It was not a good offensive game. It was just, it was a close game, and there was something on the line. Like, there's a difference. This game, I think, is going to be very well played, but just very defense heavy. I'm really, really excited about it. Again, outside the Packers game, it's the one I'm most excited about this weekend. I'm thinking I'm going to have to side with Jordan on this. I'm taking Seattle over Carolina. Carolina beat them earlier in the season. Both teams were in different places. Seattle had given up some, three or four fourth quarter comebacks in the span of 5 or 6 weeks. And the Carolina was one of them. I think they came back from 10 down in the fourth, if I'm not mistaken. I don't see it happening again. Seattle's playing better. They didn't play well this past week. It was cold. They're playing in Carolina this weekend. It's going to be a little warmer. Offense should be able to dial it up a little more. And Russell Wilson's going to look better earlier, which he did not do against the Vikings. I'm taking Seattle. I think, like, again, low scoring. Like Jason said, I don't think anyone's going to hit 20. I'm taking them 17-10 over the Panthers. We'll move to the AFC, to the one I'm least excited about this weekend. I have a date night, so I'm going to miss this game because I was like, I don't really care about this game. Denver and Pittsburgh. Jason, who you got?
Okay, so, you know, I wanted to go with Pittsburgh in this one. And I don't know what to do here. I picked Denver in on pulse because of the Antonio Brown, you know, concussion. I mean, he looked like he got knocked out midair. So if he's able to play, it was bad. You saw. I mean, it looked bad. I mean, if Sam Shields is out a month, then what's Antonio Brown's status going to be for this game 6 days later or 7 days later? So. If Brown goes, first of all, like I said, I question the concussion protocol. But if he goes, maybe. But I think I'm going to stick with Denver because even if Brown does go, I think he's still, I don't know if he's going to be 100%. And then, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he's got the separated shoulder. It was also discovered that he's got some torn ligaments in his shoulder. So he's not going to be able to throw the ball deep. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense is going to be kind of, you know, Pittsburgh light. And I don't know how well that bodes for them on the road against Denver. It's unfortunate because, you know, Ben's injury was, you know, just a tough play. As a matter of fact, I don't know if he didn't get hurt on the perfect sack, right? Was that the play that actually he suffered the injury on or not?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I believe it was.
So Vontaze Burfict has single-handedly ended the Pittsburgh season, the Steelers season with the injury to Ben Roethlisberger, which was a clean hit and sack.
Yeah.
And then the dirtiest play of the year with his, you know, at least he led with the shoulder, not the head, and the hit on Antonio Brown. So I'm going to go with Denver. And I think, Peyton, they're the number one seed. It's Peyton Manning's last season at Denver one way or the other. And looks like he's going to go out with a big win over the Steelers and then set them up to play in a conference championship the following week. Again, physical game, you've got two pretty good defenses, but I think I can see this one going and getting into the 20s. So, I'm thinking more 24-21-ish. These playoff games, as they get further and further along, tend to be a little bit more lower scoring. So that's how I see it shaking out. I got to go with Denver on this one.
Jordan.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat when you're talking about Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. Even if Brown goes, I think Roethlisberger is the bigger issue here. You talk about his shoulder just not being able to throw the ball deep. I'd be shocked if he even made it through the entire game, or at least played every series. He's going to take some shots from that Denver defense. I don't see him getting through the whole game. I'm actually going a little bit wider margin of victory here. I got Broncos 28, Steelers 17. I think Peyton will play well. I think this whole we talked about it a couple weeks ago, whenever it broke, this whole steroid thing. He's probably got a little chip on his shoulder from that. He was legitimately pissed off in his press conference about that. So I think he's going to be a little ticked if he's playing. This might add a little more to that, playing at home. That never hurts. I think the Broncos take this. I'm not calling it a blowout, but I mean a comfortable 2-score win for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, God. You know how I feel about Peyton Manning. Like I hate that man. Like he's one of my least favorite players in the NFL. He's one of my least favorite people in the world. I hate Peyton Manning. And the fact that he's able to get to this stage playing half the games, almost, I think he was leading the league in interceptions, even though like only playing 9-10 games. I think Bortles took it over from him in the last week. And still getting that first round bye, I hate it. I hate it so much. But I mean, you guys brought it all up. Roethlisberger separated his shoulder. I equate Roethlisberger a lot to the late great Steve McNair, where it's same kind of build, kind of a bigger guy, like mobile enough, but as you get farther along, like a little bigger, and always on the injury report was something. I remember every week with McNair, it was, well, it was thumbs half off. He's not practicing. He's going to play on Sunday. And he always would. And as his career went on, he played not as good. I'm not saying Roethlisberger is there yet, but even non-throwing shoulder, man, like separated shoulder, like that's tough to play with. Even if he comes out, like Jordan said, I can't imagine him finishing the game against his Denver defense. I can't see him doing well even when he's in there. I don't see Landry Jones doing well. Like you said, Antonio Brown is either going to not play or he's going to play and not know who he is. And they have other weapons. I mean, Heath Miller is great. They've got Bryant and Wheaton, who are both great receivers in their own right. Neither of them number ones, and they play off of Brown so well that without him, that offense is not as good. But they're still very good receivers. But I think they're also down D'Angelo Williams. I think he's still in doubt for this week, but I'm kind of thinking he won't play. Running backs look fine this past week. I don't think that's going to be an issue. But against this Denver defense, their two best players hurting, I have a really hard time taking Pittsburgh. I might have to take Denver. It's in Denver. And I think it's going to be low scoring. I think Peyton Manning, I mean, you said he's going to come out with a chip on his roided up shoulder. I don't know, man. Chip on his shoulder or not, like his arm is just dead at this point. Like he has not looked good this season unless he's been playing the Packers. Pittsburgh defense is not good, but I think they're going to hold them down a little. I'm taking Denver 14-10. Last game we'll take. Yeah, I know. I do. I mean, I don't think Steelers are going to be able to move the ball, and I don't think Denver is going to do much. So, last game we're going to pick. I'm really interested in this one as well. Really, that Denver Pittsburgh game is the only one I kind of see going Denver's way and not being overly interesting. Patriots and Chiefs, Jordan, who do you got in this one?
I want so desperately to pick the Chiefs in this game. I think it sets up very well for the Patriots to lose, considering the hot streak that the Chiefs are on right now. the way that the way their team is playing, and with the, all the injuries the Patriots are dealing with, they had the extra week, so I mean that certainly helps their health. But at the end of the day, it's still Foxborough, it's Brady, it's Belichick, and then you still have it's Alex Smith and Andy Reid on the other side. They've had a great season, a great run. I mean, to go from 1-5 to 11-5, and now 12 really. They've won 11 straight games. That's amazing. But this is a tall order. To beat New England on the road in the playoffs is one of the toughest things to do in the NFL. And they still have their big play guys. So with Gronk and Brady, I think it's a close game. It's going to be close right down to the end. I think the Patriots hold on 20-16.
All right, Jason, who do you got in this one?
So I was kind of in the same boat as Jordan. And the other thing you have to remember, too, is that I don't think Jeremy Maclin's going to play in this game for the Chiefs. He's
right.
Got a knee injury.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant, and at one point it was being speculated as an ACL tear, and it doesn't sound like they have disclosed that or decided whether or not he'll play, but if he does, he's not going to be 100%. It's just, I was just kind of thinking through it real quickly, and quite a few of these teams that are left are dealing with the loss of a playmaker on offense. I mean, the Panthers lost Kelvin Benjamin, but that was in the preseason. They've had all season long to work that out and figure that out, and have continued to win despite Ted Ginn dropping every other ball that gets thrown to him. And then, you've got Devontae Adams for the Packers, which is unfortunate. You've got Antonio Brown for the Steelers, which is really, really unfortunate, because the Steelers were kind of one of those teams that could make the playoffs really fun and interesting if they were able to advance on and move on, and, Maclin for the Chiefs. So, and obviously the Patriots have dealt with a bevy of injuries, but yeah, I mean, it comes down to the same thing that Jordan said too. I think the Kansas City, just unfortunately, a lot of the success in the NFL comes down to health, and it's not something teams can really totally prepare for, and it's not totally in their control, but survival of the fittest. And unfortunately, I think the loss of Maclin is going to be too much for the Chiefs to overcome on the road at Foxborough, where you've got a very savvy New England team with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. I mean, I feel like he could put the three of us out there and they'd win a playoff game. That's just how good that offense is. So I got to go with the Patriots, and I think it's probably going to be somewhere around the 30-21-ish mark, and that is going to then, set up the – probably the final time, unless Manning comes back to Denver next year or goes somewhere that's very successful. But the last time we'll probably see Manning and Brady, and it looks like it's, if our predictions come true, it's going to be for the AFC Championship, which would definitely make for some pretty good television the following week.
Yeah.
And Jason, you say you could put the three of us out there. Like, man, I could have made the NFL, but I decided I wanted a family instead. I mean, that's my decision.
That's right, I respect that 100%.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. I mean, I didn't even declare or anything. I could have declared as a 30-year-old fresher, like senior out of UK, but I didn't. I held it back.
I still have all four of my years of eligibility at ASU. I turned 40 this year, so I'm ready to go.
All right, I'll be expecting a call from Bill Belichick at any moment then.
There you go.
I've flip-flopped on this one, man, so much. I actually had it down on paper. I was taking the Patriots. I think I've talked myself into the Chiefs. I'm going to take the Chiefs. You only live once. I'm going to go ahead and take them. The Patriots, like you said, they've suffered a ton of injuries, and health is a big thing, and the Patriots have got screwed this year, and they performed very well in the face of that for the most part, but the more guys they lost, the worse they looked. And some of that was late season stuff, but they still had something to play for late in the season. So, I don't know, man. I really think, I mean, it is hard to take pick against Belichick and Brady in Foxborough. They have lost there before. I mean, it's not unprecedented. This Chiefs team is playing really well. I can't remember which one of you guys said it, hit the nail on the head. The thing that makes me hesitate is, man, it's Alex Smith and Andy Reid. I don't know how I feel. Like, can I pick them in the playoffs? Is that okay? I really don't know. I mean, especially without Macklin, he's really turned it up. I mean, everyone made jokes before the season about what's a wide receiver doing signing with Kansas City, but he's had a fantastic year, and losing him is really a big loss. So that's going to hurt him. Their defense has been flying around, though, man. And again, against Houston, their defense looked dynamite last week. Again, one of the best defensive performances by Football Outsiders metrics in the past, like, 15, 20 years or something. It's weighted to who they're playing, but you can still say it's the Texans. But that defense looked really, really good. And again, some of the offensive pieces the Patriots are missing, and I heard rumors that Amendola and Edelman may be back this week. I don't know how much truth there is to that. Jason, you've been listening to a lot of NFL radio. Have you heard anything about that?
They weren't really talking about it too much. The Patriots somehow, some way, made their way to the back page when normally everyone's swooning and talking about them all day. But I think this whole relocation thing and then the franchise and the Los Angeles situation kind of stole the day. So no updates there. And if Bill Belichick is any indication, you know, I think Bill Belichick and Mike McCarthy should have a press conference off, kind of like a space off, you know, to see like which one, like to see which one can put a room full of people to sleep quicker. So I don't think we're going to get a whole lot from Hoodie on that one. It might just kind of be a game time thing. We find out then.
Just looking forward to next week. Yeah. So I mean, if those guys can go, if Edelman and Amendola can go, which we probably won't know until 5 minutes before kickoff, it changes the complexion a bit. But it's still, those are guys who haven't played for a while. But I still think they could do well. I'm banking on at least one of those guys not making it, and if they do, having rust on them. That defense is really solid. The defense has really carried them when their offense was not looking great at times this year. But I don't know. I'm thinking the way the Chiefs are playing, more importantly, the way the Chiefs' defense is playing, I think the offense will do just enough. I'm going to take Chiefs over Patriots in Foxborough 21-14. Gracious. That sounds weird to say. All right. Well, we actually have maybe a little time to kill. So before I get the final thoughts, I just kind of wanted to we talked about this past week's game a little bit. I kind of want to go back to it just because, man, playoff victory. So just moments or plays from the game that you guys really enjoyed or kind of wanted to relive or kind of talk about. Jordan, you have anything that stands out to you?
I think the play I probably went the most – got the most excited for was you had the first touchdown play, which was coming off the quick hike from Rodgers on the 12 men on the field, his classic move. But actually the touchdown pass to Adams, right before the end of the first half, I did not have a good feeling after it went down. I was pretty down, thought it was going to be a bad game. Once Adams scored that, it just, the team seemed different right at that point to me. When we got that last touchdown before the end of the first half. So in the second half, it was nice to see they just came out and kept it going. Wasn't expecting those things, and it was very nice to see them. So they have the ability to do it this week. It's tough to put that hope into me with how down I was last week on them playing the Redskins. To think that I have more confidence with them against the Cardinals is kind of ridiculous, but. That's what they're doing to me right now.
Jason, you have anything you took away from this game that you loved?
Eddie Lacy, anytime he runs long, I'm always curious to see if he's going to A, get tackled, B, initiate contact or run out of bounds, or C, collapse because he's exhausted and out of gas and can't get to the end zone. So, I liked the long run by Lacy and the production the run game got. Didn't love the fumble. I think this has got to be the fifth game in a row that the Packers have fumbled a football or had a fumble by a running back. At least it wasn't James Starks if you're looking for a silver lining, but still nonetheless, you know, the game was in hand at that point, but they got to find a way to secure the ball. The Cardinals are going to, you know, like I, you know, Jordan, I think you said, you're going to probably turn the ball over. I'm not trying to be pessimistic here, but you're probably going to turn the ball over once. That defense is just very active. So they can't have that going on again this week. But I did like seeing Lacy with the long run, and only, it was a cutback. I mean, he cut back, you know, got to the edge and took off running, and, you know, he gets ahead of steam going. I mean, it's a thing of beauty. And by a thing of beauty, I'm not talking about the same way that I described the way Amon Green ran. But, you know, that was good to see. I mentioned the comp touchdown. You know, that was a good one. Nick Perry. Great performance by Nick Perry on
yes.
the defensive side.
Yes.
Just, you know, different offensive line. And, you know, Guyon had a nice push on the goal line stand. I mean, how about that? Deshaun Jackson's an idiot, which is no shock to anybody. And then the Packers defense hold three straight downs, and they save 4 points, and Washington's got to kick a field goal. I mean, that was, you know, that was incredible. But Nick Perry, great performance by him. And you know, playoff games are where contracts are made. And I really mean that. We've seen a lot of players have one great playoff game, and all of a sudden they're, you know, the darling of the free agent season. So we may have lost Nick Perry because of that performance he put up against Washington, because someone else is probably going to outbid the Packers for his services next year. But that was my thing. And those guys are going to be needed. Nick Perry, Mike Neal, Pat Burns, obviously Clay Matthews. It's going to be all about getting pressure on Carson Palmer. They're going to have to get it from a lot of different places. So those were my takeaways. You know, I talk about confidence all the time, and the defense played in such a way that I think, you know, they come in and look to turn some things around. And, you know, 24 points they gave up last time, if they can even shrink it down to 21, I think the Packers have a great chance to win.
You mentioned the goal line stand, and so many great things happened there. Well, first of all, you mentioned the Deshaun Jackson move. As soon as that happened, I said, I don't think he got in, man. He held that ball back. I don't think he got in. And sure enough, so thank you, Deshaun Jackson, for just continuing to be an idiot.
Haha,
Clinton Dix made a couple just dynamite plays on the goal line. He was rough earlier in the season. He turned around as the season went on, but he made some big plays at the goal line, made some pretty good plays all game. I've been living in SEC country. I've been banging the drum for Clinton Dix. Was very excited when they drafted him. So seeing him kind of put in a performance like he's been doing last half of the season, and at times in this game was very, very exciting. I go to some of the plays. The two that stand out to me that seem a little small, but just thinking back, I really love them, were the Abadaris 2-point conversion. Just the cut that he made, I love. Just that quick setup outside. It was just in such tight quarters. A quick cut outside, and then it just jammed his foot in the ground, head back inside, defender nowhere near him, easy catch. Something like that. And that's something we talked about lazy routes some of the Packers run, and they looked much better for the most part in this game. Adams looked good. Jones had some good routes after the first quarter. Cobb looked good. Just a really sharp route by Abadaris, showed some quickness. I really love that play. One of the other ones that made me laugh was that I really, really enjoyed was Kirk Cousins got sacked twice on fourth down without trying to get rid of the ball. And one of those was like a Nick Carey blindside sack. So I don't fault him for that. He got in there quick. He didn't see him. I understand it. He got sacked on another one in the fourth quarter where he was rolling to his right. There's people in the end zone. I mean, not open, mind you, because he didn't throw it. But he's probably at the 25, 30-yard line. And instead of chucking the ball up, he actually, like, with defenders closing on him, actually tucked the ball and then ran towards out of bounds. And then after he got hit and after his knee hit the ground, spiked the ball into the ground. Like, that was going to make a bit of difference. Like, instead of just chucking it towards the end zone, I watched Kirk Cousins literally tuck the ball, and I was so happy. Just so happy. So for whatever reason, that play made me laugh really hard, and that was one of the plays I took away from this game. It's like, oh, that was a fun little play. And I mean, really, the bigger point is, man, we got to the fourth quarter and it wasn't stressful. Yeah. I kind of sat back. Wow. I was watching with a couple of my brothers and my sister and my brother's roommate, and we just kind of sat back and, you know, having some beer. We got some Donato's pizza, just kind of kicking back, just eating and joking and talking and watching the game. But they were up by so much, it was nice having a non-stressful fourth quarter in the playoffs. It was kind of awesome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
All right, so that's good, man. wild card win. We're on the divisional round. Cardinals are tough, but playoff win's a playoff win. Just take this, celebrate it. Don't worry about the Cardinals yet. Celebrate as long as you can. Celebrate as long as Brian is right now, you know, on his floor somewhere, passed out. God knows what's on the floor with him. Just celebrate like Brian is right now. And, you know, let's start worrying about the Cards, you know, Friday around 2 p.m. when work's slowing down a little bit. Just that's when you start looking forward to the game. But just celebrate this playoff win. It's exciting, especially after the season we've been through. It's exciting to have a playoff win. That's my word on it. So let's close this out, fellas. Final thoughts. I honestly don't care. We've talked a lot of football, so I don't care if they're football or not. Just final thoughts for the week. Jason.
Well, like I said, you know, it's going to be a tough game, and I don't think it's going to be the boat race that it was last time with Arizona pulling away and scoring so many points from the defensive side of the ball. But it's still tough to pick the Packers. Adams is they're kind of battling more than just the opponent. And I think this might be the week that it just becomes a little bit too much before the season ends and they move on. But, you know, as soon as the season ends, you know what the deal is, right? As soon as the season is over with, like the second the season's over with, Jordy's back because it's 2016. So that right there is your built-in and anti-Montgomery. And that is right there is your built-in immediate silver lining to the early finish that this season is going to be. Also, gentlemen, if you aren't aware, the NFL owners revoted today, and the St. Louis Rams are going to be relocating to Los Angeles. They will be the Los Angeles Rams once again. The San Diego Chargers have up to 12 months to join them in a joint effort, share a venue. Doesn't sound like they're very interested in doing that. The Oakland Raiders have bowed out. They are not going to be moving to Los Angeles. That is where we stand on the L.A. franchise. And so we're going to have at least a team or two in Los Angeles and all of the DB-ery that comes with that is L.A. And I used to live out there, so I can say that and get away with that. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to join you guys again. Thank you so much for having me back. And, you know, anytime, I'm always good to come back on and enjoy the game on Saturday and party like a James.
Appreciate it. Jason, before you go, where can we find you on the internet?
So I am on Twitter at Jason Perrone, and I am also on Facebook, ironically, also at Jason Perrone.
Fair enough. And you write for Cheesehead TV, which, I mean, every Packers fan should be visiting every day anyway. But in case you're not, I can vouch for Jason. Like he said, great Twitter follow, especially on game day. Good stuff at Cheesehead TV. Jason, we appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Jordan, final thoughts.
All right. I had a couple little – I was looking up some stats while we were recording here. And the last – I mentioned Carson Palmer playoff stats. The last time he started a playoff game was the day before the Cardinals-Packers playoff game 6 years ago. Fun little fact
gracious
there. Yeah, that's a little bit of a coincidence. I found interesting. Also, too, a little trivia question for you. We've got that playoff game in 2009-2010 season. Packers tied it up with less than 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter to tie it up 45-45. Who caught the game-tying touchdown for the Packers in that game?
Oh, I know this, but I'm not going to give it away. I know the answer. I know it. But I know where you're going with this. I'm not going to steal your thunder because it's not my show.
Oh, I saw it. I had to ask it.
I was going to look this up. I was going to cheat. But I've decided against it. I assume since you're asking, it's someone relatively obscure that was there
definitely
at the time.
Definitely.
That is an understatement.
Oh,
we've talked about him on the podcast before.
Was it Ruvell Martin?
No,
not Ruvell
Martin. He wasn't there at that time. Well, I'll tell you two. Okay, this is just a time for me to talk. Two of my favorite obscure Packers receivers that So we went to a game in Cincinnati. I think it was the only game they dressed for the Packers. I think one of them got one snap. Willie Quinney and Taco Wallace, two of my favorite little-known Packers receivers. My younger brother and I would play Madden, and the rule was we couldn't run at all, and we'd play with NFL Europe teams. And so it was just pass all the time. And so my boy, I don't even remember what team I play with. My quarterback was Brooks Bollinger, and Willie Quinney was like the fastest receiver on the team, which by NFL Europe standards in Madden, he was like an 82, and just like 8 touchdowns. So when the Packers signed him, like I was over the moon. And then like he stayed one game and that was it. But I know it wasn't either. I don't know why I brought that up. It wasn't Taco Wallace or Willie Quinney. I know that. So, I don't know, man. I'm kind of stumped. Jason, why don't you take it away, man?
It was.
Or someone.
It was the okay. If you'll have me, and I was at that game because I was an Arizona resident at that time, and it was in the end zone. It was like right in front of me, so I was just like, but this guy actually had kind of an emergent 2009 season, not on the roster as an offensive player, but converted so well. He was the Spencer Haebner.
Oh yeah.
Spencer we have Haebner. Talked about him. We have talked about him.
So it's going to work. Right,
dead silence. And then silence. That's what, it. That's
what
that, it's just so mind-blowing that we have nothing.
All that
I was trying to think of my favorite. I was trying to think of my favorite Spencer Haebner play, and since I didn't know he did that, I don't have one.
It would that's be that. Right that was probably it.
That was it. That was it. I just didn't know it.
I think to keep that tradition, we got to have Justin Perillo catch a game winner this Sunday. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh please God! Well, I mean,
first Saturday.
Brett Swain almost caught a pass in the Super Bowl. So I mean, you know, Perillo.
Wait, no, guys. We're talking about obscure wide receivers or wide receivers that haven't really contributed yet. I can think of a guy that's on the Packers roster who, if he caught a touchdown, would melt the universe.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah,
we've talked just about like, him once or ten times.
Just yeah, right. The fly route heard throughout the world. If that happens right there.
And
which
somehow
I'm for
with
it,
Adams
you know.
Being and somehow with Adams being out, instead of that option, we're going to see Kennard Backman trying to run a steam route down the middle.
Oh, I'll take that over Perillo. I take it back. Yes, Backman with the big catch. That's what I want.
I'd be happy with either. Be happy with either. My final thought will not be football related. It'll be music related. David Bowie died. And that made me sad. I was up at 2 a.m. with a baby. She had woken up. She had just gone back to sleep. I decided to get on Twitter because apparently I don't like going back to sleep. And it said Bowie died. And it was I think he's fake died like 15 times by now. So I thought it was a rumor until I saw his son say something about it. And it broke my heart. You know, I grew up not a huge Bowie fan. I didn't really know much about him. Little bit. I think I listened to – my dad loved the Pinups album, so I listened to Pinups a lot. But I got into high school, got Ziggy Stardust. That started me down a road, man. So I don't have the connection with him that a lot of people do, but what he did for the world of music is – it's unmeasurable what he did in his time, in his career, through so many different – variations and so many different sounds. It really is. If you've not really dug into his discography, if all you know is his big songs, please, please, please go through and listen to some of his stuff. Go through and listen to Ziggy Stardust. Listen to Low. I was a big fan of I'm blanking on it now. The one he put out in 03 had Slip Away on it. It's one of my favorite Bowie songs. There's YouTube video running around of him and just isolated vocals of him and Freddie Mercury singing Under Pressure. That's unreal. So I don't want to get too emotional about it, but it's sad that he left us. I'm glad he left us Black Star. It's an interesting album. I've listened to it a lot while doing some of our writing over the past couple of weeks. But if you haven't really dug into Bowie, give it a shot. Dig into Bowie a little bit. He really did something else. And I'll end with this. I loved Bowie, but man, if Tom Waits dies this year, I really don't know what I'm going to do. If we lose Bowie and Waits in the same year, I don't think he's not sick as far as I know, but Tom Waits, I know you're listening. I know you're listening, sir. Just stay healthy, man. Just don't die on me this year. I can't take it this year. So
he has one job. That's to stay healthy.
I mean, I'd be fine if you went on another tour and put out an album as well, but I'm going to keep my expectations low. I just want him to stay alive. That's really, if he wants to do more than that, I'm fine with it. It's been a while since we had an album out of him, so I'd be happy with it. Jason, we got you. Jordan, where do we find you on the internet, sir?
Oh, you can find me at Twitter at JGPeck41. JGPeck41.
And I am at Dusty Evely. It's the last name's like Everly, but without the R. So you can follow me there. It's a mixture of football and horror movies and all kinds of crap. And then we the podcast has a page as well. It's PTTF for Pack to the Future _ podcast on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook. If you search for Pack to the Future, you'll find us there. So guys, great job. Enjoyed talking to you guys this week, and let's hope we're back next week talking about the upcoming NFC Championship game. So go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers. Yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.